Our text is found in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 142. Psalm 142, and we shall read at verse 5. Verse 5. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Amen. We find in this portion of the Psalter, the latter portion, a group of psalms from number 140 to 143, which are of a similar character. They belong to the same period in the psalmist's life, the time when David was persecuted by King Saul. And Psalm 57 seems to belong to this group also. There in Psalm 57, in the title, there is reference to the cave. And here in Psalm 142, we have the same, a prayer when he was in the cave. And the cave may have been the cave of Adullam or the cave of En-Gedi, as we read of these two accounts in 1 Samuel. David, fleeing from King Saul. Saul was a strange character. He seemed to have a disordered mind and an unregenerate mind. Saul was not a godly man. We're told in one place that the Lord gave him another heart, but it was not a new heart. It was not a gracious heart. Whatever change came over him, it did not really change him, not profoundly, radically, as grace does. And there are many like that in the church. They're on the fringes, as it were. They may have some profession, but though they can talk the talk of a Christian, they're not really walking the walk of a Christian. And Saul, King Saul, was a foe, unjustly, of godly David. David then is experiencing trouble, and trouble after trouble. And in his trouble, he looks for consolation. And he does so, first of all, there in verse 4. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. He looked to those who belonged to Saul's court. No help there. He looked to his own relations. No help there either. He looked to his own friends. No help from them either. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. And that may be the experience of the Lord's people in this world, in their difficulties. There is no one they can turn to from among men who understands, who is able to sympathize, to enter into their trouble and give support and strength and guidance. So David then does what he should have done first of all. At the beginning of verse 5, I cried unto thee, O Lord. Dear friends, in our troubles, that is where we must go. To the Lord himself. And this is the way, faith in God and prayer to God. Prayer out of a troubled heart. Prayer that is a burden we're carrying. and we seek to cast it upon the Lord. And in God, the God of mercy and grace, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have one who is so full of sympathy and understanding and loving kindness. I cried unto thee, O Lord. And then, in the remainder of the text, I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Two things for us to consider with the Lord's help. What God is to his people, and then where God is these things to his people. What God is to his people. He is their refuge and he is their portion. And let us consider those two things. Thou art my refuge. David says it in faith. He says it in conviction. He believes this to be true. He is confident that God is his refuge. And a much needed one. Saul was cunning. Saul had his designs upon David. Saul would seek to entrap and ensnare David. And who can stand against such foes but the one who knows man altogether, and the one who orders man's steps, the God of eternity, and the God who is a God in covenant with his own. And there are two senses to God as our refuge. God is a refuge for us in his grace. That is first and foremost. A refuge is a shelter. You and I need a shelter. What do we need a shelter from? From divine wrath. From what we deserve as sinners. From what our guilt demands. From a righteous God, even that we should be punished, and punished everlastingly. Every sin deserves that, because it is sin against the honor of the infinite God, our Creator. And the same God who threatens punishment for the sinner, is the one who provides the shelter. God, a shelter to his people. How is he so? He is so in Jesus Christ. God become man, and a suffering man, as the servant of God, the obedient servant, fulfilling the will of God, the commission given to him by the Father. He was required in the place of sinners, the place of his own people, to tread that lonely path of suffering. He endured the contradiction of sinners against himself. So many ranged against the Lord Jesus, scribes and Pharisees, the Jews as a people, for the most part, Herod and Pontius Pilate, and their enmity, their hatred, it was seen in his arrest and mockery of a trial, and cruel scourging and mockery, and then in his crucifixion between two thieves, malefactors. Christ was none of that. Holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. But he was there for his people, willingly and in love to men's souls. And by his obedience unto death, even the death of the cross, where he was made a curse for his people, Jesus Christ has purchased saving grace for his own. He made atonement for their sins. An atonement is a covering. That's the word in the Hebrew. A covering. The covering over the mercy seat. And here's the effectual covering. Here's the blood and righteousness of the Redeemer. Here's God's grace in justifying the ungodly. And that God has done for you, God has done for me, as those who have been enabled to believe in Jesus Christ for righteousness. You stand complete in Christ. You appear in God's presence in the name of Christ, clothed with his perfect righteousness. And that is your covering. And it covers all your sin. A shelter indeed. The wrath of God, his avenging wrath, cannot reach you. Because of his covering. Because of Christ and his suffering. Because of his life given up in death. His shed blood. But then, God is a refuge or a shelter to his people in his providence. And that is no doubt what David had in mind here. In particular, he needed God to be a shelter for him in his providence, because he felt keenly Saul's enmity. And he might have feared Saul and what Saul could do. Perhaps taking him unawares. Perhaps coming against him with a superior force. How are we to stand? How are we to continue in the face of our foes, the world, the flesh and the devil? Well, they are spiritual foes. And God, by his grace, will give us strength to stand. But when you think of those who are flesh and blood enemies, those who are among the ungodly, and who defy the Lord and his commandments, and who persecute the righteous, we need to have God as our refuge. God is over all in his providence. Nothing is exempt from it. He has decreed, foreordained, everything which comes to pass, from the greatest thing to the least thing. And that providence is a shelter. The Lord Jesus spoke of the providence of God the Father, how even the sparrow, that small bird, does not fall to the ground without the Father. It can only happen according to the divine will, divine providence. And the Lord would reassure the disciples, ye are of more value than many sparrows. And the hairs of the heads all numbered. And that's true for ourselves. The Lord loves his people. And the Lord, in his providence, directs events for their good. And in times of difficulty and trouble and danger, we may call upon God, cry to Him as David did, and God will surely come to our aid. Even in His providence, intervening so that what may be threatened against us does not succeed. What we might fear does not happen. And the Lord turning everything to good. Psalm 31, which we were singing, the metrical version, my times are wholly in thine hand. Can we say that? That's a belief in God's overarching providence, God's government of all that is created, and of a God who especially takes care of His own people. They are dear to Him, and He will not see them suffer unnecessarily. If there is suffering, it is appointed for their good. That is a reassuring thing when such things may happen to us. To believe it, we cannot always see it, but to believe it because God has declared it in His Word. God, God of refuge, in His grace, in His providence. But also God as our portion. Our portion. The word most often means inheritance. The Israelites, the tribes, the families, they would have their portion in the promised land, territory marked off for them. It was divided up. The one land divided up between the tribes. And each tribe had a different portion. Well, God is the portion of His people. God assigns to man a portion for his enjoyment. The portion in providence may differ. The good things of this life, this world's good, each one has a different portion there. But David is saying, the Lord is my portion. The Lord Himself. God, the inheritance of His saints. And the wonder here is this. God Himself being our portion, all that He is to each and every one of His own. It's not something of God to one and something of God to another. He's the same God with the same covenant, the same riches of grace to each and every one of His own. You have a full salvation. So do I, and so do all the Lord's people. That is precious to think upon. The least Christian has salvation as much as the greatest Christian. The Christian who has perhaps made little progress in the Christian life, struggles with sin and temptation daily, feels defeated, wanders this way and that way, seeks after God but cannot always lay hold upon God, often cast down and in great difficulty, that Christian has salvation just as much as the Christian who seems to always be full of hope and of a bright, sunny disposition and very fruitful in godliness and good works. We must strive to be what we ought to be in the Lord. We must seek His grace. We must grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. But we should remember this. The Lord Himself is our portion. The triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, is our portion. God the Father is our Heavenly Father. God the Son is our Redeemer and Savior. God the Holy Spirit as our Comforter. The three persons are those things to each and every elect soul, each and every believer. His people are His portion. And we see there particularly Jesus Christ, His people. He died for them. He bought them with His blood. He paid the cost for their sin. And they shall be mine, He said, in the day when I make up my jewels. Well, we would struggle to say that we were jewels. Rough diamonds. That's how the Lord's people are. And much refining yet to take place. But a peculiar people. Precious to the Lord. Dearly loved by Jesus Christ, and He will have them in heaven. Not one will be left behind. They are His portion, and He is our portion. To think then upon that, as David did for his consolation, we for our consolation. The Lord, our covenant God, as our refuge and our portion. But then, secondly and briefly, where God is enjoyed in this way, as our refuge and our portion. Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. You will find that phrase in several places in Scripture. In some cases, it may have reference to eternity. But in most cases, it seems to refer to this world. The land of the living. Where men and women live out their days. The days appointed to them by God, and where we desire to be for that allotted time, and looking beyond this world, that's something that many will not do. They will not contemplate it. It disturbs them. They have no grasp of it. If they have any sense of it, eternity, it is with foreboding, a certain fear. But the Lord's people, they are here in this world. They're thankful to be here on mercy's ground, and they are thankful that the Lord met them here in His mercy and grace, rather than that they met Him in eternity before they had met Him here. All the importance of being right with God here in the land of the living, because if we're not right with God here, we cannot be right with Him in eternity. God, our refuge and our portion here. And all our days after he meets with us in the gospel and through a work of his Spirit, drawing us, opening our hearts, opening our understanding, that we might know our need of him, our need of Christ crucified for our salvation. And then seeing his hand at work, his protecting hand, his directing hand, his sustaining hand, and his comforting hand. This, far more besides, God is to his own, their refuge and their portion. It is a wonder that we can say God is our portion. The world cannot say such a thing, and the world does not particularly desire to be able to say such a thing. We'll manage by ourselves. We'll live according to our own knowledge and our own desires and our own will, as though man was made to be independent of God. And that's not the truth. It's not what you find in the book of Genesis. God making man, God making Adam and Eve to be his companion, but that he would be the companion of both, that he would walk with them in the garden, that he would afford to them his friendship and his fellowship. That is what man is made for. In this world, and this is the blessedness of the Lord's people here, and then in the world to come, in the land of the eternally living, in the land of those who have been blessed in the grace of God with that life that has no end. Eternal life, life more abundantly. God is our portion there. We might say that God is our refuge. That's not required in eternity. You still are there on the ground of Christ's atonement. That's the only way we can be there. But in terms of his providence, we have no enemies there. No fears, no troubles. But the Lord is very much our portion in the land of the eternally living. He's all our portion. Our gaze is upon him, upon Christ, King in his beauty. And we delight in the Lord as our portion there, more than we were able to do here. Here it was through a glass darkly. There it is face to face. We have a vision, an understanding, a knowledge, an experience that far exceeds what we had here. And we may rejoice. If the Lord is our portion here by faith in Jesus Christ, then he will certainly be our portion when we leave this world. And it is an eternal world. How can finite creatures, even perfected in holiness, get to an end of the knowledge and the experience of the infinite God? It cannot. It endures for all eternity, this blessedness of communion in glory. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That is our portion in Christ Jesus. The Lord himself, in his covenant, pledging himself to be our God, and we his people. Let us be thankful then, if the Lord is our refuge and our portion. May he bless his word. Let us pray. O Lord God, how inadequately we seem to enter into these things. They can at times seem far distant from us. But if we know thee, if we have saving faith, if we have tasted that the Lord is gracious, we are blessed indeed. And thou wilt be all that thou art to thine own, and they will know thee as thou art, more and more, and rejoice that they know thee. Watch over us, we pray. Take care of us in all our circumstances, all our needs. Be with us in all our troubles and difficulties, and deliver us from every foe, and all for Jesus' sake. Amen.